There has been a lot of good material for sports writers this past week. The weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal showed Keyontae Johnson soaring into the national spotlight as he slammed home an alley-oop pass from his teammate, completing an audacious trick play that sealed a dramatic March Madness victory over Michigan State. Just above that was a picture of Shohei Ohtani celebrating with his teammates after leading Japan to a victory in the World Baseball Classic. He had just struck out Team USA's Mike Trout for the final out. But notice there was no picture of Mike Trout as he hung his head and slowly walked off the field, nor of his teammates who were sitting on the bench with their heads in their hands. Why? Because it's not a story worth telling. There's nothing much exciting about a loser. Martha and Mary in today's gospel are losers. They just lost their beloved brother who died from illness. They held on to hope for many days, but then the end came with defeat. The passage says that Mary sat at home, as you might expect, perhaps with her head in her hands. But Martha is taking action. In fact, she is the one on whom the cameras of this passage are focused. She is still the center of the story. Why? We read, "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house." Now we can tell from the narrative that Martha's head was not hung low. She could have waited for Jesus to arrive, but no, she goes out to meet him. She still had good reason to be disappointed. She waited a long time for Jesus to come after they sent word for him, but he didn't come until after Lazarus had died. Now, you and I have heard the entire passage, so we know how the story ends. But right now, let's focus on Martha in this moment. Why? Because her words to Jesus show that she doesn't yet understand what kind of good could come from this. "Lord, if you were here," she says, "my brother would not have died." At this point, she states the obvious. It's like saying, "You've come to help us win the game, but the season's over and we lost." She puts her disappointment up front because anything else just wouldn't be honest. What's remarkable is that she remains ready to welcome any goodness that Jesus might still bring into this situation. She says, "And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Raising Lazarus from the dead, we will see, is not yet in the realm of her imagination. Right now, she's staring into a void. Her brother is gone. But she still has hope that Jesus can do something. Despite her disappointment, Martha doesn't doubt Jesus' character. She remembers how he brought hope into the most hopeless cases. He's turned water into wine, he's healed the lame, and above all, he can proclaim forgiveness of sins. He can pray for the soul of Lazarus. The exchange that follows happens very quickly, but it's important. So to appreciate it, let's take a moment to slow it down, okay? Because when Jesus tells Martha something that from her perspective doesn't help, he simply says, "Your brother will rise again. Like others taught by the Pharisees, Martha believed that everyone would rise again on the last day to judgment when the Messiah comes. So these words are nothing new to Martha. So she says, I know, he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So all Jesus did was state the obvious, and this was a cold comfort to her. It's like at a funeral wake service, someone says, I know he was both your brother and your dearest friend, the one who meant more to you than anyone else in the world, but his soul doesn't die. I mean, that doesn't even speak to the state of his soul. So the polite response might be, yes, I'm thankful for that, but inside, what do you think? Yes, but I'm still grieving this loss right now. But then Jesus drops a bomb. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You can imagine a silent pause as those words sink in. Perhaps she continues looking at Jesus for a moment, blinking a few times. Then she finally absorbs what she's heard and responds. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. She heard the words and received them. To understand the magnitude of this, no one heard Jesus say this before. But immediately, she puts the pieces together and she says, you are the Christ. In the Gospel of John, this is on par with Peter's confession. That's not in the Gospel of John. This is the great revelation in his gospel, that he is the Christ. To use the game analogy once more, Jesus is the one who can arrange a rematch and a victory. A victory that settles the score once and for all. But here's the key. This new understanding is the fruit of Martha's pursuit. She learned this because she went and met Jesus. She did this when there was no human hope. She said, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus exceeded her highest hope. To understand this better, let's ask a question. Would Jesus have raised Lazarus if Martha hadn't run to him? And if so, what difference does her initiative make? Throughout Scripture, God's word accompanies his works. You can imagine a diagram like a road with a dotted line in the middle, okay? The dotted line is God's works throughout all of Scripture, and parallel to it is his word, predicting and then absorbing Scripture along the way, absorbing his works in the form of his word. And so what here we have is Martha finding words to explain what Jesus was doing. He is the Christ. Not only that, but she uncovered God's word for you and me when we are in situations like her. That is, when it seems like he is not working, when all seems lost, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is victory personified and embodied, brought into the world once and for all. And now, you and I, of course, know even more. The raising of Lazarus was temporary because he would eventually die again, but we are supposed to connect this with the resurrection of Jesus. St. John clearly expects the reader to do this in his gospel account because we know the end of the whole story. Jesus' resurrection is far greater than the one that the Pharisees taught Martha. Why? Because this is not something far off in the future. This one has already happened. And that means for everyone who belongs to Jesus, no matter what, Jesus has arrived. He has been raised in time, and that resurrection belongs to me and to the brother Lazarus in your life. Yes, we preach this resurrection in Lent because, as St. Paul says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is true for you now and forever, and for your brother Lazarus. To make this personal, we're called to ask right now, who is Lazarus in my life? Is it the loss of dreams and closed doors? Mistakes that you've made that you can't fix? The rug that got pulled out from under you somehow? Fill in the blanks. Or maybe it's someone you've lost, or someone you might be afraid to lose. And let's be honest, at times you and I have been waiting like Martha and Mary, and it seems like God hasn't showed up in time. And, or you think that the next time maybe he won't. But like Martha, do you trust the character of Jesus? Are you still willing to go out and meet him? Are you bummed, like sitting at home with your head in your hands, like Mary? Or are you your best self, like Martha? Preach to yourself what Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Just today in morning prayer, we heard when similar words were first said by Moses. He said to the one who spoke to him in the burning bush, what shall I say to them when people ask me, what is his name? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And so what should you say to people when they ask, what is the hope within you? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. All this fulfills the perspective in greater measure than we have throughout all the Psalms. The Psalms cover the whole range of human emotions. You can always find your words articulated there. And there's in these Psalms, there is much anguish and despair, but the dominant message still is hope. Even when David is the source of his own disappointment, he knows that God can forgive. Only one psalm out of the 150, Psalm 88, ends on a down note. One out of 150. So yes, we feel that way at times, but the call is to say that, like Martha, that God, you can still do something. Charlotte Elliott was born unable to walk, and she wanted to do something significant with her life, and she waited her whole life for some kind of healing, but it never came. And then she was stirred by a preacher to do something for Jesus, and with all her heart, she wanted to respond. But she couldn't move. So instead, she went to Jesus with her words. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come." So even when it seems like nothing is happening to fill your void, our Lord has given you his resurrection. And as today, as you wait to receive communion, take time to think of who the Lazarus is in your life. Will you receive the eternal hope that has entered time? Sometimes, yes, he does wait to reveal his power, and I wish I could take more time to show how intentionally he waited in this passage so that his power could be made more known later. But he has proved that nothing is beyond the reach of God's redemption. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So even when you're on the losing side of life like Martha, you don't need to sit on the bench, you and I, holding our head in our hands. No, you can be still photo-worthy. The one who strides across the field with continued confidence to get a word from Jesus. He'll give you headline news worth repeating. And we call that the gospel.